This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, this is CoronaCast, a daily podcast all about the coronavirus. I'm health reporter Tegan Taylor.
And I'm physician and journalist Dr. Norman Swan. It's Wednesday, the 21st of October.
So Norman, let's talk about a place which is now imposing a 5 kilometre travel limit. You can't go to the barbershop anymore. You can't go to the beauty salons or gyms. I'm not talking about Victoria. I'm talking about Ireland. And it looks like places in Europe are adopting some Australian-style approaches to curbing coronavirus.
Yes, because despite all the complaints about lockdown in Victoria and how it was unnecessary and we should have just let it go, that's coming from some sources, and how in complaining they're not letting up quickly enough, lockdown is actually all you can do when it's getting out of control.
I mean, is Australia being used as an example to the world, or is this just best practice no matter where you are?
Let's talk about Ireland for a moment, which is a country that's got a smaller population than Victoria. Depending how you define it, it's around about 5 million people. In the past month, they've had 17,000 cases. Past week, 7,000. By yesterday, 1,200 cases in a single day. So that's getting pretty worrying from them. And their lockdown looks remarkably similar to Victoria's.
Yeah, they're going into their highest lockdown tier for 6 weeks. Well, in Victoria, that wasn't long enough. Do you think that they might extend it?
Well, it's hard to say, and it goes on modelling. They've certainly got more cases and more virus circulating. And as we've said, Sydney before on CoronaCast, University of Sydney modelling showed that for every day you delay lockdown when you're out of control, it's a week at the other end, which is one reason why Victoria has gone on a bit longer. They tried to ring fence 36 suburbs, it didn't work, and that delayed things by a couple of weeks. And you've probably shortened it by a lot at the end if they'd done that, but that's ancient history now. They've got to sort it out, and they hopefully will get down to very low levels, but it depends on how much virus there is around.
A week or so ago, a senior person at the WHO, the World Health Organization, was saying lockdowns shouldn't be the primary way that countries control coronavirus. And that sort of headline went out, and I think a bit of the nuance got lost in it, because we are seeing countries using lockdown and it can be effective. So where's the nuance here?
So that's certainly, Tegan, what was being said last week, quoting the World Health Organization. Anyway, from Monday's 7:30 report, I interviewed Dr. David Nabarro, who's in fact the same health official. He's Professor of Public Health at Imperial College London and he's Special Envoy to World Health Organization on COVID-19. And he feels that he's been misrepresented. So his view is that, sure, lockdown is not the first thing that you do. It's not your primary means of control. Your primary means of control has to be testing and contact tracing and quarantine and isolation of the people that you find in that process. However, he does say that you get to a point where lockdown is the only thing that you can do, and you should use that lockdown to improve your contact tracing and testing regime. And in fact, if you look at Victoria, that's really, although in the first wave, that's what we did as a nation back in March. We got our act together in terms of contact tracing. There were still deficiencies in Victoria, and they have used the last few weeks to get much better. And so the contact tracing regime now in Victoria is fantastic. They're finding up people, they're finding them quickly, they're locking off mystery cases in super quick time. And that's what you've got to get. So in fact, they've used that time well. It's not that they're against lockdown, it's just that it has its place. And when it's out of control, the way it is in Europe, you've actually got to be able to do that. Now, the problem, and I don't know what they've done in Ireland here, but the problem is the borders. And there was a really interesting study the other day looking at counties in the United States and showing that cross-border flow was a very important factor in both the sustenance and the growth of SARS-CoV-2 infections. And if you don't control your borders and you've still got people coming in from outside, it's very hard to get this down and control it. So really, European countries are trying to do this with one hand tied behind their back. Britain and Ireland could control their borders because they're islands, but it's harder for other nations.
Exactly. And can we just come back to, you were talking before about Australia, and we are doing, the numbers that are coming out now are looking really, really promising. How close are we to having zero spread here in Australia?
We're almost there. New South Wales still has cases popping up. Victoria might get there before New South Wales because they're still in lockdown, and those extra few days of lockdown might make all the difference. I think New South Wales, it's going to be really hard, but they're, you know, they're getting on top of it too. I think we're going to be down to very, very tiny spread. And maybe in Victoria, they'll get down to zero spread. And that will make it much easier to open things up.
We are still seeing the odd mystery case coming through, though. And with a mystery case, you're really knowing that you've got the case that you've managed to identify, but also that person has to have got it from somewhere. So we're not completely out of the woods yet.
No, we're not. But the focus has to be not just on who you might have spread it to. For example, there was an alert in New South Wales for South East Sydney where somebody who was COVID-19 positive was circulating there for a few days. And they're worried that people might have caught it there. The real issue that you want to know, because this is a cluster-based disease, is where did that person catch it from? Because that might identify a new cluster that you've got to get on top of, which might have been 4, 5, 6 days before they entered Southeast Sydney. So it's really important to go back and check out on these clusters and sort them out so that you're tracking not just the cases that this person's come in contact with, but who gave it to them and what were their cases and was it a cluster? Because it's quite likely to have been a cluster.
Right, that reverse contact tracing that we've talked about before.
Yeah, this is the K value rather than the R value, which is about the cluster spread.
So let's take some questions from our audience. And we've got a question from Matt. Well, he starts with a comment. He loves CoronaCast so much that he nearly named his new border collie puppy Norman Swan.
Oh my God, no, no, no. Don't inflict that on your dog.
Well, he ended up going with Gus, which is another good Scottish name.
Yeah, Angus. Get here, Angus. Much better.
So Matt lives in regional South Australia, and life there's pretty much returned to normal. They're pretty relaxed and maybe complacent. Matt's the manager in his office, and people continue to cough at work. Presumably it's the common cold, but Matt's asking, am I being over the top if I ask them to work from home and get tested?
You're absolutely not being over the top, Matt. That's the responsible thing to do. South Australia could be having virus circulating and not know it, and complacency is the enemy. So essentially, this virus does not have a brain, but it can sniff out complacency and find its way through there. So the rule has to be anybody in South Australia with a symptom, cough, cold, has to get tested, and they have to isolate themselves until they know what the answer is and the symptoms go. And they should not be going to work, should be working from home and getting tested. So Matt is right, and that should be the rule. Otherwise, if the virus does arrive in South Australia, you could be stuffed because people in South Australia are not ready for the virus to hit. Whereas if you're ready and alert and vigilant and people have been tested, you can cope with the odd case now and again and get on top of it.
And a question from Janet asking about sewage testing, which we've talked about before. And Janet's asking, if we can test for virus in sewage, why can't we use people's urine or faeces to test for the virus instead of only saliva samples or nose samples?
People have talked about that, and it's just easier to stick a swab in your nose than ask people to collect their poo. We ask people to check their poo for bowel cancer screening, and it's an important thing to do, and it's not that unpleasant, but it's a step too far for some people to do that for coronavirus. But the feces are a source of coronavirus, and the virus does exist in the bowel.
And one more question from Helena. Now that we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel with these outbreaks here in Australia, is a third or fourth wave our next concern? And how likely are we to see a repeat of a lockdown scenario here in Australia?
It is entirely preventable. We should not have to confront more third or fourth waves. That assumes, of course, that our external borders stay closed for the time being, or we only open up bubbles to very low-risk countries, New Zealand, the Pacific Islands, Singapore, maybe South Korea, maybe Taiwan. But essentially, if we don't open our borders to high-prevalence areas, we should be able to control this, but it means that every Australian, no matter where you live, no matter how much virus is circulating, you get tested if you get symptoms, and you get tested fast and you isolate yourself until you get the result. And we get on top of things if there's any breakout. It's only a matter of time before somebody in one of these cargo ships that's turning up in Fremantle or Port Hedland, it's going to jump ship. It jumped ship in New Zealand a few days ago. It could jump ship in Western Australia. It could jump ship anywhere. So we are not that isolated anymore. And so if we are all vigilant, we shouldn't have to need another lockdown. We should have outbreaks that we can get on top of and control quickly.
Well, that's all we've got time for on CoronaCast today.
If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, we encourage you to do so. Go to our website, abc.net.au/coronacast. Go to the Ask Your Question button and mention CoronaCast so we can find it.
Yep, that's right. If you've named your pet after Norman Swan, we want to know about it. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Well, Tegan wants to know about it. I'm not sure I do, but, you know, so amuse Tegan. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you then.